of realestate.tv. Now, you'll never guess where I'm recording this podcast from. Well, maybe you might if you know me. I'm actually sitting on a catamaran off the coast, or just off the shore, of Whitehaven Beach in the Whitsundays. It is absolutely glorious. Now, that's one of the great things about having passive income. And I know I harp on about it all the time, but when you've got passive income, that means money that comes into you regardless of what you actually physically do every day, then you can choose to spend your time any way you want. And if you choose to sail the Whitsundays and your investments produce passive income for you, then you can do that. You can choose to be anywhere in the world for that matter. Now, I've sailed on quite a number of places around the world, and I can tell you what, we have some beautiful shoreline around this country. One of the places that everybody says to me, oh, wow, you sailed the Greek islands. And, yeah, we did. You know, we took some time off one year and we cruised around the Greek islands, and there's some, oh, my goodness, some beautiful food. But, you know, I don't think a lot of places around the world, Greek islands included, have got a patch on this country, particularly up here in the Whitsundays. You cannot describe it. If anybody's out there and they want to replace their income and make things happen, put this on your bucket list. It's absolutely got to be one of the things that is very worthwhile doing. And we come here at least once a year. Now, that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about passive income and the ability to be able to actually have that income come in regardless of what you do. Now, I don't care what medium you use. Well, I do actually. I use property as my medium, but there are other people that will help you with other mediums like shares and businesses and things like that. But property's got to be one of the easiest ways to do it, to create that passive income with a, you know, investments that just produce more income than they actually cost you. This morning, let me just give you a day in the life of passive income, if you like. This morning and every morning since we've been up here, I get up and I jump on the net and jump on my phone and do about an hour and a half maybe of catch up, do this, move some money here, do that, etc. And then the rest of the day is ours, you know. We've gone snorkeling, gone sailing, gone whatever we want to do. So when you have that income that comes in from an investment of some description, and that's what I'm saying is property is the easiest one to deal with, then it doesn't matter what you do with your time. When you look at properties that produce more income than they cost you. Now, I was talking to one of my students the other day, and he was commenting on how when he first started with me, he didn't believe that you could actually buy a property that was positively cash flowed, because everybody talks negative gearing. Everybody talks the fact that when you buy a property, you know, you buy it new so you can get more depreciation, so you can claim more on your taxes, and you have to make a loss on the property so that you can claim that against your salary so you don't have to pay as much tax. I'm here to tell you that's old news. It's definitely not the way to go, because doing that, what you're physically doing is you're losing a dollar to save 30 cents. And believe me, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So what I want you just to consider, just for 5 or 10 minutes, is just think about, just let your mind wander and just let yourself explore what it would be like to have whatever you're earning now. Now, think about that figure, whatever that figure is for you, whatever you earn now, think about that much money coming to you regardless of what you did with your time during the day. Now, some of you may go, oh, but I want more than that. I want this, I want that, I want whatever dollar figure. And that's great. But let's focus on replacing your current income stream first. Because when you can do that, then you can really start to power ahead and double it. You know, double whatever you earn now. Triple it. You know, sky's the limit. It depends what you want to do. And when I was talking to this student earlier, we were chatting about the fact that when he first started, he didn't believe that these properties existed. And of course they do. And now we were actually sitting down looking at a few properties and bits and pieces. And he was just reiterating how easy it is to be able to buy positive cash flow properties. Now, he's someone who's obviously replaced his income a couple of times over, but just being in the mindset to be able to look for positive cash flow properties puts you a world apart from every other investor out there. I've been reading a book while I've been away by John McGrath, top real estate agent in Australia. And one of the things that he talks about is mindset. And just having an attitude of expectation and an attitude of success makes such a difference. And of course, obviously it does. And when you relate that to real estate and buying real estate, when you expect to be able to find positive cash flow properties that will put more back in your pocket than they actually physically cost you every single week, then you know that's what you're going to go out and find. It's like somebody who lives in a remote area of the world that's never been exposed to Western society. You know, they can't visualize perhaps a television or mobile phone, although I was reading the other day that practically everybody across the globe has got mobile phones, even in some of the remote areas. So maybe a mobile phone isn't such a good example. But, you know, imagine being able to visualize something that we take for granted in our Western society. It's the same thing if you've been brought up with negative gearing and investments and you know, with an attitude that you work hard until you die and then you go on to work hard until you retire and then you go on the pension and then you die. Well, that's what you're going to be looking for and that's what you're going to be expecting. So you don't go out there looking for something different. Well, It takes that little bit of effort. It takes that dissatisfaction in a lot of cases with your current way of living to make you look for another alternative. And maybe you've found your way to my podcasts and my teachings you know, the books and other things that I've done that has led you to maybe want to look at something a little bit different that gives you the ability to be able to choose how you spend your time rather than having to physically trade your time for money, because that's the normal way of doing it, you know, trading time for money. And if you want something more than that, then you've got to look towards having a mindset of expectation, a mindset of success, a mindset of being able to put a goal out there and get out there and achieve it. And when it comes to property, actually having the mindset of course I can find a positive cash flow property. Well, you know what? You will. And you don't have to have a lot of money. One of the things that I often talk to my students about is having the attitudes that you've been brought up with and how they translate into your everyday life. Well, when you start to look at mindsets like you need money to make money is a good one to start with. Well, that's actually not true either. I was looking at a very cheap little property. It was one that one of my students bought. Now, get this. Can you believe it? He bought it for $15,000. Now, $15,000 is not a lot of money. And when we start looking at properties these days, you think, my God, what was it? Where was it? Why, you know, what sort of property was it? And yeah, it was run down. And it was in a small country town. And there was nothing much going on there. But people live there. You know, there's a school and there's a little sort of a hospital and there's certainly three or four pubs and a normal town, you know, just like we would expect in any country town. But this place sold for $15,000 and yes, it needed some fix-up. But he can do that. You know, this person who bought the property, you could put that property on a credit card. I mean, banks give you out $15,000 credit cards these days with the blink of an eye most of the time. So, you know, being able to do that and buy that property, not that I'm suggesting that's what you should do, I thought I had, but it wouldn't take a lot of money to buy a $15,000 property. And the reality is that the norm in that town sold for somewhere around the 70 was about the lowest other than this particular property and went up to around about, you know, $250,000. So there's still plenty of upside. And the beauty about this particular property was that he could do manufactured growth on the property as well. So he could actually end up with two properties for the, well, even less than the price of one, and the ability to be able to rent it out. And I think at the end, when this project is completely finished, it'll bring in around about $25,000 passive income. Now you think about that, $25,000 worth of passive income. how long does it take you to earn $25,000 doing whatever you're doing now? It might not be your total salary, or it might be. You know, it might only be a little drop in the ocean of your total salary, but you've got to start somewhere. So you don't need money to make money. I was looking at another property recently with another one of my students that was just crying out for a deal to be done. And this is where education really comes into play, because with this particular deal, they were able to negotiate their position on the property. They were able to negotiate in a deposit as well as repayment terms that they could actually buy the property, which was positively cash flowed. It was positive cash flowed about $9,500, I think, from memory. And they were able to negotiate their position. Now, they didn't actually have any money to put towards this property. But by being a little bit more creative and having some education behind them, they were able to negotiate their position. And that put them in a position where they had $9,500 worth of passive income. And look, that's not to be sneezed at. How many of those properties do you need to replace your income today? Or there's other properties that students of mine have bought that have, you know, in one property, it's more than $100,000 worth of passive income. And you go, wow, how do you do that out of just buying one property? Well, it's not necessarily just buying one property. It's about what you do to that property that creates that passive income. And this is where there are so many alternatives out there. There are so many situations and strategies and deals and ways and manufactured income and manufactured growth strategies that can be implemented on properties, that what you've got to do is you've got to sit back and look at where you're at and what you need to do to start the ball rolling. And I don't care whether it's $2,000 positive cash flow or $20,000 or $200,000 positive cash flow. It's always going to be a step in the right direction if you're talking about positive income coming from you at that property. Now, just before we go on, I really want to clarify what I mean by positive income, because to a lot of people, you know, they say, oh, the property's positive, but it's positive after you claim depreciation and after you put in a 20% deposit, which has to come out of your savings, and you say the borrowing on the property is only 80%. Well, that's not positive to me, because that money's got to come from somewhere. To me, if it's going to be positively cash flowed, it has to completely look after itself. It has to have enough rent coming in to cover all of its fixed expenses. So, you know, the rates and the insurance and the property management and repairs and maintenance and everything else that relates to that property directly. And then it's also got to cover interest on an interest-only basis on 100% of what that property costs you. So it's not just even the purchase price. It's the purchase price plus the cost of purchase, like the stamp duty and the legals and the structure that you use to put it into. Interest on an interest-only basis on all of that money, because you've got to have that money somewhere. You know, it's either going to come out of a security on another property, like a line of credit or an offset account. It's going to come out of your savings, or it's going to come out of borrowings from somewhere. So if for that property to be positive, it has to 100% look after itself. And then whatever's left over, guess what? That's your start towards income replacement. Now, the more properties you have, the more positive cash flow, the lower risk profile you have. People ask me this all the time, saying, oh, you know, how do you manage all those properties, and how do you, you know, what about the debt and all of this kind of stuff? Well, if you were buying negative cash flow properties, I'd be starting to get a little bit nervous. In fact, I get nervous at one negative cash flow property. But the more positive cash flow properties you have, the safer position you're putting yourself in, because what you're doing is you're diversifying your risk across a number of different properties that all have a positive cash flow coming from them. So if there's one that's vacant for a period of time, as an example, then positive cash flow from the other properties actually covers it. And the more you have, the safer you are. I also talk about paying off debt, but pay it off once you've replaced your income. That's when you should start to look at your debt levels and start to pay down that debt. I like to have that passive income coming in first, and that's where I like to focus. Once you've replaced your income two or three, four times, then the name of the game is no longer accumulate. The name of the game then is let's pay down debt, let's get secure, let's consolidate and get to a position where you have no debt on any of your properties. But see, most people make the big mistake of getting out there and buying the grand mansion too soon. Everybody jumps at having a, you know, the dream house. But in reality, they haven't even thought about the loan that's on it or the income first. I don't think you should have the property of your dreams until such time as you've absolutely replaced your income. Once you've done that, then sure, get out there and have, you know, buy whatever property you want to live in. Another mistake that people actually make is they never get around to actually owning real estate. They let their lifestyle determine their success, which is totally the wrong way to about it completely. You should let your success determine your lifestyle. I know this guy who, for many, many years, you know, he earned quite a bit of money, and he was quite showy. So he drove the big car with the big expensive price tag, and, you know, he rented this really amazing apartment and overlooked the water and, you know, paid a lot in general living expenses. But at the same time, he didn't actually own anything. So everything was on lease. Everything was rented. And he wasn't getting ahead. And yet 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the track, he's got nothing. If he stops work, his lifestyle goes to zero, just like that. Whereas if he had done things a little bit differently and put that extra money that was being paid in other people's pockets, like the finance company that leased his car and the landlord who rented him the apartment, if he put that extra money then into owning some assets that actually grow in value and produce passive income, he wouldn't have to work today. You know, he's earned plenty of money along the way and hasn't actually put that money aside into good, strong, solid, positive cash flow properties. So this podcast is a little bit of a wake-up call for you. It's a podcast that I hope inspires you to get out there and replace your income, whatever that income is. It's a podcast that I hope perhaps pulls you up on some of your overspending, if there is any excess and that sort of thing. Because it's all very well to, you know, to have a great lifestyle and whatever, but you've got to be able to afford it. And I ask you, please, have a look at your budgets. Have a look at how much income you earn versus how much money you actually spend. And if you don't know what that is, then put yourself on a money tracker. Money trackers are fabulous tools. What I ask you to do with a money tracker is track every single expense that you spend money on for a whole month. Don't change your lifestyle. Don't change your habits. Just write down how much you spend on absolutely everything, whether it be insurance, whether it be medical bills, whether it be chewing gum, whether it be a cup of coffee. And write down absolutely everything. And then at the end of the month, collate it all together and see where that expenditure is. And what you'll notice is that there'll be some things that are excess. There'll be some things that are, you know, essential that you've got to have, and that's just part of staying healthy and other things. And then there are other things that simply, you know, you're spending money on and it's just whittling away. And it's your choice. You know, you can choose to continue with that current expenditure level, or you can choose to put that money towards something that serves you better, that gives you a better outcome, whether it be now or whether it be in the future. And don't think of it as a budget. Don't think of it as a diet. You know, I don't like those words. Think of it as an alteration of choice. One day you might have chosen to spend money on those excess items, whereas the next day you go, you know what? I want to spend that money on something that's going to benefit me more. So it's a choice. So no longer are you giving something up. What you're actually doing is making better choices. It's a bit like health and eating and all of those other things. And I know you've heard it all before, but now's the time for that wake-up call. Now's the time to be putting this stuff into action. You know, we're already a quarter of the way through the year. It's really time for you to take stock and to to really take control of where you're at. And the smallest things really start to make a difference. The sooner you can get into real estate, the sooner you can get into positive cash flow real estate, the better off you're going to be, the quicker you're going to be. And the sooner you'll be able to, you know, sit on a catamaran off Whitehaven Beach and have the money come in passively without you physically having to do anything. You know, or wherever you choose to be. I was talking to another one of my students recently, and it's her goal to actually own a place in Tuscany, in Italy. She's actually of Italian descent. So she wants this little villa in Italy and a place out here in Australia. She's still got relatively young children at the moment. So, you know, there's education and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, in a few years' time, and she's set a goal that in 10 to maybe 15 years at the outside goal, she's going to have a place in Tuscany and she's going to have a place here in Australia, and she'll flip between the two. Already she started actually running tours and things into Italy to show people around and that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's definitely way up there on the vision board. So I ask you to think about your attitude. I ask you to think about whether you expect success, whether you demand success of yourself, whether you expect to find positive cash flow properties, you know, whether you really write your goals down and go after those goals. Because, you know, your success or otherwise is absolutely a choice. It is not something you're born into. It is not something that you can't change. It is absolutely a choice. It reminds me of one of my students from a number of years ago. He actually had a very bad accident. He was an apprentice electrician, and he had an accident and was electrocuted. And he became a student of mine because he got a payout of $250,000. And I think he was around about 22, thereabouts. And he had a full-time carer who was actually his sister, who was paid by the government on a carer's pension to look after him. So, you know, he was pretty badly injured, let's say. And, you know, for him to do anything, he really had to concentrate very hard. He had to go over things a number of times before he got it. And he lived in Melbourne, and he settled on this one particular strategy that I teach, because I teach many different types of strategies that suit many different scenarios and people in all different circumstances. But this one particular strategy was a strategy that he liked, and he got it. And he's done that one strategy now for over, well, it won't be 10 years, but it's probably about 5 or 6 years, over and over again, exactly the same strategy in 3 suburbs. So he hasn't even diversified across market sectors or whatever else. But I think today he's got about 8 or 9 properties thereabouts. And last time I spoke to him anyway, which I've lost touch with him in the last couple of years, but last time I spoke to him, his passive income was around about $120,000 a year. Whereas most young kids, you know, even without his disabilities or anything else, if they were given $250,000, they would have just squandered it away and fast cars and bigger engines and whatever else, and not had very much to show for it. Whereas he's got a very nice portfolio that most people don't even amass over their entire life in the space of, you know, 5 or 6 or so years. And he repeats this one strategy over and over again. It's a positive cash flow strategy that works really, really well in major built-up areas. And he knows this particular area where he lives, and that's all he does. And he's got a very nice passive income. He doesn't need to be on the pension at all. And I'm not even sure whether his sister needs to be his carer anymore. But good on him. Absolutely good on him. And it's something that everyone can do. And, you know, I look at him and I think, I go, wow, you know, it's such an inspiration that someone with his disabilities can get out there and make a massive, massive change in their life so quickly. And others that are so, you know, talented and who've got all the gifts in life don't do anything with it. And they squander things away. So please, I don't care what your background, I don't care what your current financial status, I don't care what your education, let me reiterate this for you right here, right now. Life is a choice. Success is a choice. You choose how you spend your life. You choose what you have in your life. You choose what you do with your life. And, or, you know, if you choose success and if you choose financial security and if you choose those things that I personally have chosen and all of my students have chosen, then it's simply a matter of a mathematical formula. It's not that hard. It's education in action. That's what it is. And everything else is a formula. So, guys, I encourage you to get out there and make those small changes to start with. Come on board. Get yourself educated, guys. It'll be the best money you absolutely ever, 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 ever spend. And start that passive income train. I use real estate. I think it's easier than any other medium. I think it is safer than any other medium. And it's certainly more systematic, more logical, and more structured than any other medium. You can do it in other mediums, as I said in the start of the podcast. You can certainly do it in any other medium, like businesses or shares or whatever else. But I can tell you that real estate is the safest. Real estate is the easiest. And real estate is something that absolutely everybody can do and make happen for themselves. So, guys, I hope I've inspired you today. I hope I've given you some inspiration to get out there and make it happen for yourself. And stay in tune with the podcast. Stay in tune with the, my webinars and my trainings and my whatever else and all of the team around me. It's not just me. You know, having that support team of all the professionals and all the people that you need to make it happen is what makes a difference. Doing it with like-minded people. You know, hanging with people who are positive and action takers and who are out there making things happen for themselves, that makes a huge difference than hanging around dream stealers and negativity. And if that's your situation where you are stuck in one of those downward spirals, then pull yourself out. Extract yourself from that environment. Pour as much positivity and positive attitude and positive people into your life as you possibly can and whittle out the negative stuff. Guys, I'll be back again to talk to you very, very soon. And next time I won't be sitting off Whitehaven Beach, but I'll be somewhere else, somewhere around the world. And I can tell you now, it's positive cash flow that's done that for me, as positive cash flow that can do exactly the same thing for you. So bye for now, and I'll talk to you again soon.